welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 30, Barbecue Drinks. We ask you to respect the laws, drink responsibly, and don't be a douchebag. I'm your host, Eric Schomer, and I have with me today, so far, because we're a drinking show, some of our buddies don't show up on time, so we just said, fuck them, we're going to do it anyway, because if we don't, there's a severe chance we'll be drunk before they get here. So we figured we'd start it. We got Doug and Luke.
Yo,
and that's our dedicated drinking buddies for the moment. And later on, we'll bring in Mike and from BeerGenome.com. Then we're going to bring in Dave if he ever shows his ass up. He asked. He's like, it's tonight, right? I'm like, yes. And then Kate, if Kate gets home from her previous engagement, I guess you would call it, then we'll ring her in. And I'll just let everybody know when they come in so that it's not like, hey, where'd that guy come from? Or girl. So today's lineup, I've got, we're thinking to do it because it's near, and this is actually Kate's idea, was you're getting near the end of the year, and we all kind of like don't want it to end. At least I don't. I think winter sucks, and Doug doesn't actually have winter. And Luke, you're like, I don't even know where the hell you are.
Yes, we have winter, and it's not cool.
It's not cool, so it's warm.
Not that kind of not cool.
All right. That's what I thought. I just throwing one out there.
Bum-ching.
Yeah. InstantRimshot.com. So what we wanted to do was bring it in with a little barbecue. What would you drink at a barbecue? It started with a website. It was coedmagazine.com. Had these 10 summer beer cocktails that don't suck. And from there, it moved into, ooh, beer cocktails. That's kind of interesting. And then somehow I went down this rat hole of changing my drinks. I was going to do this crazy Baltimore Zoo beer cocktail, but I've moved on and become more sane. So what I thought I would do is, well, first I'd like to also cover a little bit about barbecues, because I think it's kind of neat. I did some little research on barbecues, so I thought that would be cool.
Can I say something real quick?
You can say as much as you want. We're in a podcast, dude. It's audio. Go wild.
Dude, I so just floated champagne on a stout.
Wow.
Well, like, we know density now.
I need to take a picture of it, and we need to get it on the website, because I didn't think that it was going to be possible, but motherfucker.
Well, if you take a picture.
It is fucking awesome.
If you take a picture, I have the power to get it on a website. I don't even know what you have there, Doug. Are you ready to tell us what you're drinking, or should I wait?
No, I can do that. All right. So at this point, what I just did was I floated some Cristalliano, C-R-I-S-T-A-L-I-O-N-D-A. Cristiano.
Okay.
On some lion stout.
Lion stout.
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka?
Yep.
That seems like it's pretty far away. Well, Sri Lanka.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right. I got a good.
So, now you're doing Sri Lankan stout with champagne?
Yep. I just floated champagne on it, and that is my beer cocktail number uno.
Does that have a name? Sri Lanka beer stout with floating champagne?
It does, but I couldn't tell you what it was, but we can Google it.
We'll just call it Beer Lanka.
Beer Lanka with style.
Or Champlanka.
Champlanka.
Champlanka. Works too.
So you've got the Lion Stout imported from Sri Lanka, 8% alcohol by volume, I'm guessing.
That it is.
And then you've got what else?
The Cristiano Metero Tradicional Brut.
And then what else is that other thing you got there?
What other
Framboise?
Thing?
Framboise?
Oh, yeah, that's the lambic. That's my next drink.
So you have a lambic. Raspberry lambic, even.
Wow.
That's
I'll get into it when we get to that point. But first, beer cocktail for a barbecue. I thought that actually this would be a really good drink because it has the nice crispness and the airiness and the just refreshingness. What the fuck am I trying to say?
Can you add any more Nesses on there? Nessie?
I'm trying. Nessin. No.
So, okay.
Champagne with the Lion Stout, and I thought that would make a nice combination for if you're eating, you know, a hamburger or if you're eating maybe some ribs. Actually, I think this would make a great drink with ribs, but I haven't really tried it yet, so in theory, this should be good with ribs, but I'm about to take a sip and I'll let you know how it is.
But you don't have any ribs. I mean, physically you do, but I mean, like, to eat.
All right, first sip, mostly champagne.
Really?
That you float the champagne on the stout, and the first sip you get is all champagne.
Is it dry? Brut means dry, right?
Yeah, it's very dry.
Uber Brut. Actually, that would be Uber Trocken. But Trocken, they don't make champagne in Germany, so So it's a dry, but you have a stout. So by what? How is the stout taste? Like, what is? Does it have any properties, or is it just stouty like every other stout?
No, this stout has a high alcohol content.
And oh yeah.
I was thinking that it would bring some sweetness to it.
You're talking with it. You're really into that thing. You're in there good.
But it's the Lion Stout is a wee bit bitter. So
a wee bit, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
You Scotchman now?
Scotchman?
Yeah. A wee
fuck
bit?
Off, fucko.
Wouldn't that be like Scotsman?
Yeah, but if he likes Scotch.
Suppose.
I know it won't.
But if we're going to the whole nationality thing, I'm pretty sure it's not Scotchman.
Well, I mean, if you're into Scotch, you, yeah, okay, you can you wear a kilt, right? Now, Luke, you're ghosting on me here. You don't have a listing here of anything that you might be partaking with.
I don't. I just kind of went to the store and I got something.
Oh, so. That's another good barbecue technique. You get to a barbecue and you're like, oh shit. This is the good beer I like here. You go to the store, and what do you buy?
Exactly. And today, I went with Blue Moon.
Blue Moon. I see that a lot at barbecues. I see it a lot.
It's a nice, crisp drink, so it would work pretty well.
Now, did you put an orange in it? Did you put it in a glass? No. Oh, you're not a fruit man, right? You don't want it in you don't want the fruit?
Don't. Yeah, for some reason, I don't really like it all that much when it's got an orange in it. I don't know. It seems like it's conflicting tastes to me.
No, it's,
that's weird, because that's the only way that I like my Blue Moons.
Pairing. It's not conflicting, it's pairing. You're taking two things that should conflict, but you're bringing them together for full robustness.
Well, to me, they conflict.
But I just use the word robustness. Nobody's going to give me freaking extra credit?
No.
No, fuck off.
Oh, all right. If Dave was here, he'd give me some extra credit in the word.
I don't think he would.
No, he would. No. Well, reverse extra credit.
I'm pretty sure he'd have some sort of a snide remark that he don't really enjoy.
And probably call me a homo or something. my attempt, or what I thought, and this is my reasoning behind this. So what I thought would be cool is the Baltimore Zoo beer cocktail. Now, this is supposed to be, it was one of these top 10 summer beer cocktails. Not really, I don't think, fitting a barbecue, and here's why. Now, the Baltimore Zoo is one shot of tequila, light rum, gin, triple sec, vodka, grenadine, sweet and sour mix with a splash of beer. For one, it's not a beer cocktail. If you splash beer on there, it's not a beer cocktail. It's a cocktail with beer. A beer cocktail should have at least, 50% beer?
You'd think.
Right? Or you'd layer something on the beer. So that's the first problem, is I don't really agree with it as a beer cocktail. I agree that it's really cool and I could have made it because I have all the stuff. But the other issue is I had barbecues to me. When I have a barbecue, I think simplicity. I think of what can I do really easy. Like you said, go run out to the, you know, I've been to barbecues where I went there and it's like all they had was Coors. Shit, I didn't bring any beer because they said, oh, we got beer for you. You know, it's like a family party. It's not that I'm intruding. And so I just went out and I had to grab something right off the shelf and that's my barbecue beer.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, the barbecue is all about, you know, everybody bringing in their drink of choice and then kind of mix it up and allow everybody to have stuff. Yeah.
Now you could, I've seen parties where there's a, going to be a cocktail made. Like somebody's like, dude, I know how to make a good margarita. I'm going to make margaritas for everybody. Boom. Fine. Mm. And that could be, and I think that is a good beer, good barbecue cocktail per se. But since I've done that one so many times, I was trying to go a little different. So what I thought would be neat is I pulled out the Dark and Stormy. Two reasons for that. I found Gosling's ginger beer at the store the other day and I bought a 6-pack and I had it kind of tucked away. And I thought, you know what? This is pretty easy. 2 ounces of Gosling's. Black rum, drop it over ice, throw in squeeze a half a lime, and then fill the rest with beer, with ginger beer. It's not that hard. It's like drinking a beer with 2 times as much work. You know, it's not that much work. So I figured that would be a good alternative. That, and like you said, is refreshing and it's tasty. It's a little spicy. So, you know, I think it could go good with a spicy barbecue sauce because you get the spicy and then you get the ginger. They kind of play off each other. Then the second one I haven't created yet, and I've never actually had, but I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks now, is a tequila sour. So you've got your whiskey sours, you've got your rums. I guess you can make a rum sour. You can make a sour out of anything. So I thought, I like tequila. Why not make a tequila sour? So I'm going to do that. It's like two. So I'm going to use 2 ounces of reposado. Let's see.
Luke, you like amaretto sours?
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Amaretto. That was the one I was thinking of.
Yep, they're quite good.
Yeah, and they're not that hard to make. So the
because they're sweet and tangy, right?
Bam. Well, they're nutty too, right?
Oh, God. It's been a while right since I've had one. I don't remember them being it's as much sweet just as...
They're sweet. They're sour. Amaretto sour.
Yeah.
See?
That's unfortunate.
Why?
I would want mine to be sweet and sour.
Then you'd have an amaretto sweet sour.
You can have an amaretto stone sour, which does use sweet and sour mix. And
see?
That does have a little more sweet to it.
See, that's what I'm looking for. I want, like, if I was going to a barbecue, I would want something sweet.
Because
anything that you're having at a barbecue is going to be
tangy.
When you grill something, it's going to be smoked, and smoke pairs really well with something a little bit sweet, which is why barbecue sauce always tastes so good on anything that's smoked or grilled.
Because it's sweet.
Right.
All that high fructose.
Because it pairs well with smokiness.
So smoky and
sweet. Smartiness.
Right.
And the burntness of the whatever it is that you're cooking up.
The other alternative, though, is you could be making these sours to get your palate salivated. And then when you have, you know, as a, something to begin with, you get there, crack, you know, I guess you can't crack open a couple amaretto sours. You build up a couple amaretto sours, you hang out, you loosen up a little bit. You know, when I go to barbecues, unless I'm showing up uber late, typically they're not serving food immediately. They'll probably have some sort of, you know, appetizers, maybe some nacho chips or something, there's a little salt. So maybe that goes okay with that. And then when you bring into the, you know, you get a sweet drink for when you're going with the actual dinner. Personally, for me, I usually go with water and then, you know, jump into the, I like to do the high alcohol, eat with water, and then more high alcohol. I don't know why. But, you know, that's just me. And then, so what I thought would be neat is to do the tequila sour because kind of where you're going, Doug. It's not just sour. It's called a tequila sour, but it's got lemon juice. I did a half ounce of lemon juice, a half ounce of agave nectar. So they should, that basically is your sour mix.
Yep.
And then two dashes of Angostura bitters because that's what you put in a sour. And then the 2 ounces of Reposado. Yeah. Yes, bitters. And then you've got your entire sour right there. It's pretty easy to make.
I have a trivia question.
I'm up for trivia. All right,
what
you got your buzzer ready?
What is the content of your sours?
40%.
Sweet. Isn't that fucked up?
What?
That the bitters are such a high alcohol content?
I just said 40% because I wanted to. What are you talking about?
But I can get a sour.
Angostura bitters? 44.7% alcohol by volume.
Oh, it's bigger than 40. All right, cool.
Yeah, and I'm guessing the alcohol in here is just for our preservative. Because it's not like anybody's going to get wasted on Angostura bitters. Have you ever put these in your mouth?
Yeah, it's horribly nasty.
Exactly. So
it tastes like if you were to reduce, like if you took a 2-liter bottle of Moxie and reduced it to maybe a tablespoon, that's what it tastes like.
And then pooped on that. Yeah, it's but you should be able to get wasted on Angostura bitters. Oh my God, that would be an awful night.
Sorry, I just shuddered.
Yeah, I heard you shudder. That was pretty good.
I'm gonna try my next drink, which is my lambic and champagne concoction.
Oh, you didn't tell me you're gonna put lambic and champagne together.
Wow.
Yeah, it's my beer cocktail. So the lambic is a raspberry lambic, and this is actually phenomenal with champagne. Because I know that I've had this before. But I will say that I think maybe if I went for the Guinness, which is a little bit sweeter of a stout than the Lion Stout, it probably would have been a better complement to the dryness and the non-sweetness of
the champagne
that I had. Actually, when I initially went to the store, I got Prosecco, which is a sweet sparkling white. And I tried to float that on stout, and it didn't work. So, but it tasted really good. So I was like, you know, I can't use this for the podcast. So Carrie actually fortuitously came home with the champagne. And I was like, ooh, I'll trade you my bottle of Prosecco for your bottle of champagne. She's like, why? I was like, well, it didn't float on my
science.
Stout. And she's like, so you already opened the Prosecco? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, why would I want to trade you for a bottle of something that you've already opened? And I was like,
it's used
for my podcast. and she was like, fine. So I got a bottle of champagne out of the whole deal.
You got a bottle of champagne that has more in it than what you gave away.
Yep.
That is Indian trading or something. I don't know what they call
it. This is really pretty. And I'll take a photograph of this one and we can have photos of everything. I think that we should start taking photos of the shit that we're drinking.
I don't have you think that now that I've already got all my shit up here without a camera. Actually, I have a video camera, but I don't know if that's going to work exactly like we expect it to. Just video the whole thing and take still frames. No.
Oh, that's pretty too. Actually, it looks like a fucking beer. Go figure.
Well, it's red, right?
Yeah, it is.
And I didn't know you were that big of a Lambic fan.
I'm not. I fucking can't stand it. But
all right.
In the spirit of beer cocktails, I knew of this one, and I knew it was really good.
You bend over backwards for this show.
Actually, this is really fucking tasty. Extremely tasty.
Well, when you drop the F-bomb on there, it's going to be pretty good.
Well,
nope. Nobody screws around.
I'm not going to, just say it's fucking tasty or it's...
You don't want to cherry coat the shit.
It's excellent. So in the event you have the opportunity to pick up a bottle of, I'm going with the raspberry lambic and champagne, you can try yourself some peach lambic.
What?
Or pear lambic.
Dude, peach lambic in champagne would be epic. That's because I normally, when I'm drinking champagne, I always drop a little tap of peach schnapps in there. Boom, boom.
You know what I'm saying? Peach schnapps or some peach nectar. In this case, instead of using the fruit of either a liqueur or the fruit of some kind of nectar or juice, you're using the fruitiness of a lambic in place of that.
It's like a muddled raspberry with alcohol in it. Muddle that shit down with a little simple syrup, you get the same effect.
Yeah.
Except you don't have to do the work.
You could do the exact same thing, except you're not going to have the underlying crispness, not only that the champagne brings, but the beer also brings that as well.
Yeah, see, when you said lambic, I was like, really? Because that doesn't... Lambics to me are something I can have once in a while, and as one after dinner, and just like my dad, once when we were having a party, he's like, he brings out the lambic. I'm like, oh, cool. I didn't know you were into lambic. And it's sort of like no one really is, but they bring it out anyway, and then they're like, it's a good time. And then you have a good time with it. But it's not like you go over somebody's house and you bring a six pack of lambic, right?
No. In no way, shape, or form do you do that. And nobody should. And actually, if you do that, it's a party foul. You should probably go kill yourself.
10 yards. Party foul.
Yeah, party foul.
Okay.
Over three bottles of lambic. I think you should go sit in the corner.
Right. That's like showing up without your pants on. You just don't do that, especially that early into a party. For me, I like a lambic every now and then. But again, it's to me, I think of it like when you have a high sugar, rich fudge, and you have that one brick of fudge, and you're like, dude, that was the best thing I've ever had, but I'm done. It's of those. Yeah. You do it, and you're like, awesome experience. Maybe I'll experience that some other day, just not right now. So, okay, here's a question for you. Since we've got barbecues, imagine you're at a barbecue. You can have whatever you're drinking right now or whatnot. What is your favorite barbecue food? What do you do when you go to a barbecue that you wish was there and sometimes isn't, or you would make if you have a big bash?
Steak.
Steak. Mom, Trebek.
There's the mom joke. You gotta lay in the mom. Well, maybe that's bad wording. Steak. Okay.
Yes.
Like a big, thick, juicy, like marbled with fat steak.
Yeah, you just can't go wrong with a delicious, delicious steak at a barbecue.
All right. Before we get into this funny, I dialed Mike in, and so now we've got four. We got a...
Yes.
What the fuck is going on with you? We've got
welcome to Everyday Drinkers episode 30. Barbecue drinks.
What? No, we're not starting over, douche.
Drink responsibly.
I'm. Whoa.
Responsibility.
And this is when you're sober. Okay, so we got Mike in. I dialed him in because it's just not a sausage fest without at least four guys.
And now it's official,
right?
Which is okay.
It's totally okay now. And now if we could finally get Dave, I don't know where the fuck he is, but I'll yell at him later. Like, oh, dude, sorry, I forgot about something. That happens. It's, you know what? You can always blame it on the wife because we don't really organize our... For the two women that listen to the show, we don't organize ourselves well. So if you need a secret, I'll tell you right now. You're going to tell us that something is on a specific date, and we're going to say yes. And we're going to try really hard to remember. But 3 seconds later, there's a sparkling light or a commercial, and you're like, whoa, what's that? And you don't get to write it to permanent memory. It's in short-term memory, but the buffer is so small that it gets wiped out with something else. And then what you end up with is the day that something's happening, we're like, dude, we're going to do a podcast. And they're like, oh, what about the dinner we're going to?
No. Here you go. Pro tip. Tell your husband about everything in the car when the radio is off.
Yes. I say if you really want to, you gotta get them like alone and like look them right in the eye and be like, this is what we're doing in this day. If you forget,
I would totally ignore that. Oh. It's just like, yeah. This is one of those times I get too known.
Well, okay. I guess this pro tip only works because I thought it would be a good efficient mechanism. Okay, here's a better one. You take car batteries and you strap the batteries to their nipples, and you're like, you're gonna repeat everything I say to you back to me, or I'm gonna shock you in the nips, and you're gonna learn it. You're gonna commit that shit to memory. That would be the pro tip. I don't exactly know how we got back now. Oh yeah, because Dave's not around, and that happens with Dave sometimes. He's not really organized, and he'll admit that. So that happens, and then all of a sudden his wife is the bookkeeper, and he apparently was checksummed. What's up?
Can I read the brilliance of the wiki?
Oh, you can read the. Well, hold on. Let's just see what Mike's bringing to the table, because.
Mike, what are you bringing to the table?
Nothing too special tonight. It's a Sam Adams Boston Lager.
See?
Oh, that's good. That's good beer beverage.
And it's something I would see at a barbecue. Because
I would think someone's barbecue.
Especially around here. Because we're near Boston. And we think, oddly enough, that the Boston Beer Company is actually in Boston. So that it's we're not. Drinking local. But
whores.
Yeah, but they're not here anymore, sadly. It would be almost like saying Budweiser's in Manchester, New Hampshire. Well, it is, but that's not the only one. You know, it happens. Well, there it is.
So I got the Lion Stout Import, the Lambic, and the it's a great beer.
Yeah, the Lion Stout's absolutely amazing. Do you have it in a can or in a bottle?
Bottle. It's not as good when you float champagne on it, but you can float champagne on it.
I can't say I've ever considered that. But
in the event you ever wondered, hey, can I float champagne on a stout? You can.
You can. Yeah, I could see where that would actually degrade the quality of the Lion Stout, but thank you for trying.
Yeah.
It's not that it degraded it exactly. It just made it worse.
Derek, did you just update Dave?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Why?
Because I was like, I didn't do that.
How awesome would that be at a barbecue? You're serving drinks. And they're like, what do you have? Well, we've got a Heineken and we've got a stout with champagne floated on the top. It's like, yeah, I'll go for the champagne stout.
If you give it a name, look, okay. Let's change this up a little bit. Let's change this up.
I'm going to give it a name. Hold on.
No, don't give it your name. Listen to mine. This is what we're going to do. You'd be like, hey, what are you guys serving? We've got Budweiser, we've got Coors Light, and we've got Slippery Wet Nipple. Oh, well, I'll take one of those. See? Now you're like, oh, what is that? Oh, it's Lion Stout imported with from Sri Lanka, and we got a little champagne floater on top. Okay, what's it called again? And you'd be like, oh, Slippery Wet Nipple. And you'll order it every single time. Right?
Hold on.
That seems like an expensive drink.
Exactly. Well, it probably is, actually. if you're putting an imported stout and champagne together, it's not cost-effective. What we aim to please.
Yeah, the end result is awesome.
Black Velvet.
Oh.
Is on that website, it's called the Black Velvet.
Oh, I thought you made that up. I was like, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's a good name. You should just say you made that up.
I did.
See? Oh. Slippery Wet Black Velvet. I'm trying to make my tequila sour here because that's how I'm going to roll. I'm going to use some Partida Reposado.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Feeling it. Not really. I'm lost. I can't find my agave nectar. So I did a half ounce of lemon and lemon juice and half ounce of agave nectar. And that's like my sweet sour mix.
Yeah. It's called Black Velvet.
See, there you go. I thought that was the name of a whiskey.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's a Canadian whiskey, actually.
Right. And
not that I've ever had it.
I've actually had somebody from say that they gave me a cocktail. They're like, oh, this is what my grandmother in Canada made. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. I just don't have Black Velvet yet.
Nice.
But I will get it. Two dashes of Angostura bitters and a little on my arm. Let me lick that off. Oh, yeah. That's like I just sucked down on something that's like...
rusty?
No, it's like one of those. It's like one of those high-end men's... colognes. you just accidentally licked it. I don't know how that happens by accident.
Walking through a department store like, oh, something's in my arm. Oh God, why did I lick that?
What's this? Let's lick it. Throw some ice in here.
So many discoveries have been made that way.
Oh yeah. I lick everything before I eat it.
Shom, you did the Baltimore Zoo beer cocktail and what else?
No, I didn't do that. It didn't make sense to me. I was going to do it just because it was so intense, but I did the tequila sour. I was also going to do a tequila sunrise, but I switched off on that too. So I just went with the, what the hell did I say? Now you put me to this quiz. I'm drinking it. Oh yeah, Dark and Stormy. And the
Dark and Stormy
tequila sour.
Fucking Dark and Stormy, the life, the wife loves that.
Does she use...
Doesn't Kate love those too?
Yes. That's why I thought she was going to be here. I could be like, hey, look what I'm making. This is a ginger beer from Gosling's. So it's like, you can't get any more classic.
No. You need to get your ginger beer from Jamaica.
Bermuda.
They make the spiciest shit.
But I'm not in Jamaica.
Oh, and there's...
Don't we have an embargo with them or some shit?
More local here, and for the life of me, I can't remember the fucking name of it, but there's a ginger ale that's made in South Carolina that comes in hot and fucking hotter.
Fucking hotter.
Yeah, uh-huh. Fucking hotter.
Give me some
Let's
of that.
See the product label on that one.
Yeah, fucking hotter.
South Carolina hot ginger.
Oh,
ale.
Yeah. Ginger was hot. She was in, what's that show?
Gilligan's Island,
yeah. That was a sweet little piece of ass.
Blenheim.
Don't know where I was going with that. Blenheim?
Yeah, Blenheim.
Sounds German.
Shit is fucking hot as hell.
I like
hot.
That. Yeah, I like the hot ginger. That would be awesome. Where do I buy that? See, I bought this because it says Gosling's on it, and I like Gosling's Black Seal, so I thought Gosling's... It says refreshing zip of ginger.
You have not had hot ginger ale until you've had the Blenheim ginger ale from South Carolina. Shit is fucking hotter than hell.
But this isn't ginger ale. It's ginger beer.
Is it beer? Like ginger beer?
Ginger?
Like it has alcohol content? Like 3 or 4%?
No. It's non-alcoholic. But it does have a pleasing cycle.
Then it's fucking sparkling ginger ale.
Yeah, but this is 48 grams of sugar.
There's ginger beer that it's beer. It's a low alcohol content beer that has a shitload of fucking raw ginger in the secondary fermentation process before it goes into the bottle. And then you have... the weak-ass shit that you're drinking.
Hey, now! So, Doug, what you wanted to do is you wanted to read the brilliance from the wiki.
I did.
Are you going to do it in a Scottish accent? My Scotchman?
Accent?
I can do it in Irish. I cannot do a Scot accent.
Can you do shitty Irish, or do you actually do a good one? It's probably shitty, right? Because you're not
No,
Irish.
I can actually do a really good Irish accent, because I was trying to do a Scottish accent, and I was doing it for Melvin, and he was like, that doesn't sound right, but... it sounds very Irish, and it's really good.
It's a drunk, like, homeless Irish.
Nice. He's homeless because he's actually in Scotland.
He's visiting his brother-in-law.
And they went drinking, and then they got lost. And after three prostitutes, he doesn't know where he lives.
Exactly.
I don't know why. I just want to bring in the prostitutes.
That's a character story there. And, I know. This is the voice to go along with it.
There you go, Doug. We've got your backstory.
In the event I dip in and out of it, I apologize.
Well, because you're not from Ireland or Scotland or
yeah,
the UK.
So the brilliance from the wiki. In British usage, barbecuing and grilling refers to a fast cooking process directly over high heat, while grilling also refers to cooking under a source of direct high heat, known in the US and Canada as broiling. In the US English usage, however, grilling refers to fast process over high heat, while barbecuing refers to a slow process using indirect heat and or hot smoke, very similar to some forms of roasting. Right.
That was very Scottish.
Yeah, so from, for example, in typical U.S. home grill, food is cooked on a grate directly over hot charcoal, while U.S. barbecues, the coals are dispersed to the sides or at significant distance from the grate.
I had more fun listening to you, and I didn't pay attention to a word.
I have no idea. I have no idea what I just did.
I was just trying to pick apart his accent.
Yeah.
I don't think it's us to really pay attention.
Well, unfortunately, if you thought that was Scottish, my brother-in-law, who is Scottish, said that I was more Irish than Scottish.
Yeah, you know
Irish
why?
Would beg to differ.
It's
apparently.
I think
this is why you're homeless.
Right.
Because neither country's gonna
you're in the middle. You're like Spock. You're like half human.
Well, if that was if it to your ears, if that was more Scottish, then I've been working on my Scot, and thank you.
See, and if you want practice, in like 2 weeks, the next, because I did an interview Tuesday with a Scotsman. So he works for Diageo, and they build Scotch. He does Johnny Walker and a couple of the other ones. He's like the master blender and stuff. And he has an accent. Oh, it was awesome. But I found that they do a little bit of mumbling, and you just like, I don't know what he just said, but he was really excited.
No. They don't mumble. They just talk really fast.
Okay, it sounds like mumbling to me because I can't understand it.
No. It's not mumbling. They just talk really, really, really fast.
Well, that's pretty cool. I got to figure that out. So basically,
I know this.
This is true. basically, what you just explained was the brilliance of Wiki was how people barbecue. Like you do it. The way they do it, and I guess the key to that after you cut the accent is in Britain, barbecuing is done quickly. What we would call like almost like a, you know, you're just bang, you're in there, you're cooking really fast, you're out. But then around here, we kind of look at it as more of a slow process. Like it could take hours. And then in the South, I think in the South, it's even longer because everything seems a little slower in the South, Doug.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. So.
So did the idea of a barbecue social become, did the social become because barbecues take longer, or do barbecues take longer because people wanted the idea of being of socializing outside?
I think people just want a social. They don't really care where it is. It's like it doesn't matter what event it happens to be. People really just want to drink and talk.
Well, you got a ton of food outside with open flame as opposed to sticking a couple of frozen pizzas into the oven or microwave. Obviously, it's going to take longer.
Right. And I don't know about you, but the when was the last time you went to a barbecue where they're like, we got frozen pizzas coming up in 5 minutes? That would be epic.
Only a kid's party, right?
Exactly. And you know what? It would be better than some of the barbecues I went to. Since we're on the topic of barbecue, Mr. Mandolin, well, why did I call him Mandolin? He's tinning his uke. his uke. I think the way I foresee it, and I was asking people before, and I don't think Doug ever answered this question because I think we got hung up, is what is your favorite food at a barbecue? And Luke's answer was steak. And I would agree that steak is awesome at a barbecue. I don't see it very often, mainly because of the cost. But when I go to a barbecue, it's usually like we have chickens and hamburgers and hot dogs, you know, especially hot dogs for the kids, some steaks maybe, and, you know, different things, maybe some grilled potatoes, mashed, you know, like potatoes and onions and stuff, just different things. But then when I go to like specific relatives' house, they always cook hamburgers and hot dogs. And you're like, dude, it's a party for like X amount of people. And they're being cheap. They want to invite you over. They want to feel like they're participating in family events. But when they come to your house, they're expecting chicken, steak, like all these expensive foods. But when you go there, they give you, does anybody else have this type of family where there's that one member who does the cheapest food possible?
Cheese plate.
I want names. I'm related to you. I want names.
Well, they're not from our family. Our family doesn't do that. But from my in-laws.
Cheese and Kool-Aid.
Well, it's my aunt-in-law, I guess you'd call her. I don't know what you call her. Is there a such thing? It's my wife's aunt-in-law. Aunt. My wife's aunt. She does. And last time I went over, she's like, oh, because her kids watch Common Man Cocktails and all that stuff. And they're like, oh, he knows how to make drinks. Bring over. And I did, I did margaritas once. Cost me about $95 to get all this stuff for the margaritas. And they were kind enough to supply the limes. Oddly enough, the husband works at a fruit store. So supplying the limes means he just took them from work. And he didn't take enough. Nice. I told him, 20 limes. They were being cheap. They thought, we'll just get 10. How many does he really need? He's just being overly aggressive.
And do they listen to this?
What do you mean? No, they don't listen to this. You kidding me?
They're, okay.
So they did, and I don't care. I would tell them.
Are you kidding me? We would offend him in like 3 seconds.
Right.
Sweet.
So halfway.
Next time I ask for 20 limes, you bring 20
limes. Don't want to listen.
Well, I told him. I'm like, look, we need 20 limes. And we did. We needed 20 limes. And they didn't bring 20 limes. They brought 10. So I was out quickly. So I had that problem for me going. And it was just like, I just, it's that type of, they like to do the cheaper food.
Were you doing the lime and the agave and the tequila for your margaritas?
I was doing, yeah, I did lime. I always lime agave. We went through a bottle of Hornitos in about, I don't know, 5 minutes. And, the whole thing. And then I gave this recipe to somebody at work, a coworker, and he brought it home, and everybody loved it. It's like, they do barbecues now, they use my recipe for margaritas, and people just want to keep coming back. That's how you do a barbecue. When you're done the barbecue, if I'm going to put on a serious barbecue, I'm going to say, look, I'm bringing 10 people over, we're going to have a good time. I'm going full class. I'm doing steaks, I'm doing chicken, I'll do hamburgers, I'll do hot dogs, throw it all on the grill, bring over the hard alcohol, bring over some beer. I'll bring some light beer, some heavy beer, some stouts. Maybe I'll get something from Sri Lanka, right? And then you do it up. It's a party. You don't have them like every 4 weeks, or no, not every 4 weeks. They would do it like every other week. That's going to kill you, right? You throw a bash. You throw one or two a year, and then you just do it all out. That's the way I like to do it. That's when you get the steaks.
There you go.
And chicken's expensive too. Mike, when you go to barbecue, what do you like for food?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to have your brats, your burgers, your hot dogs, and those are the staples. But more than anything, I usually load up on things like the fruit salad or the Snicker salad. I don't know if you've had that before.
No, I don't think so.
It's like a fruit salad, but it's like essentially whipped cream and like Snickers bars mixed into one freaking thing.
What?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. So that's what you eat.
What?
You don't usually, yeah.
Wait, say that again. What?
It's called a Snicker salad. It's like whipped cream and Snickers bars and, I don't know, some other sweets thrown into a big bowl and mixed together.
What?
No. I need specifics.
Oh, he wants to make it right now.
No. What's it called?
Snicker salad?
It's not hard. Snickers salad. It's got Snickers bars.
And it has Snickers bars and whipped cream.
And like apples.
Whoa. Apples?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like cut up little sliced apples.
So you gotta have some fruit. Fruit salad with Snickers bars?
No, exactly. Apples.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you use watermelon?
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on. Time out.
So people can have this?
Google this shit.
No. Where are you from?
Where is Minnesota?
Just
Minnesota.
State. Or oh. Minnesota. Really? Minnesota?
Really? What do you mean? He's lying?
According to Wikipedia, Snickers salad is a mix of Snickers bars, Granny Smith apples, and whipped toppings such as Cool Whip, quote-unquote, served in a bowl. It's a potluck and party staple in the Midwest. So that would explain why I have it a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. This is something normal for you guys. You do realize that this is extremely unhealthy for you.
Oh, God. Ooh, yeah, like I sit around drinking beer and then I talk to other people about it. Yeah, that's a healthy thing.
Wait a second.
Okay, you got me there.
Hold on.
He's at a loss.
No.
Doug's like, I want to make this right now. I will call you back.
Candy bars chopped in small squares, 6 Granny Smith green apples chopped in small pieces, and 1 8-ounce container of Cool Whip.
Can you put it in a blender?
Mix and chill. Enjoy.
No, you don't want to put it in a blender because then it's just like a liquid.
Hold on.
Snickers chew.
Snickers water.
Wait. It says enjoy as... Wait, it says enjoy as salad or dessert.
Wait,
yeah. Sorry.
What part of that includes a blender?
Snickers bar.
Do you always put your salad in a blender?
Dessert.
You don't eat it on your own.
Oh my god.
This isn't one serving, this is for your barbecue.
Yeah, somebody's got to make it to bring to the barbecue.
Oh,
just bring me.
Make it. You mean whipped cream and Snickers bars and some apple? I can make that by accident by tipping over a couple jars.
Oh yeah,
wait a
throwing a hot dog on a grill—that's hard work too.
Yeah, it is because you could burn them.
you could have wait too much Snickers to whipped cream ratio. Then it's just chewy.
Yeah, but my
Either
daughter
that,
doesn't like the brown.
You could put it in
spot.
A blender, and then you're just really fucked.
Then you just put in a straw. And...
You have 6 Snickers, you have 6 Granny Smith apples, and you have 1 8-ounce container of Cool Whip. You can't fuck that ratio up.
You can.
No, so it's impossible.
Well,
that is one of the most fucked up, awesomest things that I've ever heard of in my life.
You know what would be awesome? Because we don't do that around here. If I brought that to a family cookout, I would be the goddamn biggest hit. I would be like the next god.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what is this?
Sure,
you don't want
to
know.
Expand past the Midwest.
I am going to bring that to the next barbecue that I go to.
That's awesome. I'm just going to make it at home and just eat it every night for a week.
Every
it can't go bad.
Hold
right?
on.
No, it can. Trust me.
Really? Oh, yeah. I guess you're right. There's cream in there.
Mike and Luke, since obviously you're talking to two East Coast guys and I have a more southern flair, so I have a wee bit more of a diversity to my barbecue, I guess.
He eats pig is what he's telling you.
What else? Good. What other crazy fucking shit do you guys bring to barbecues? That's fucking awesome.
Well, how do I know it's crazy? That's normal to me.
Yeah, this is true.
Tell me about all your other normal shit.
When they don't have, what do you call those sausages that you eat? I can't remember. We make them all the time.
Smokies?
No. Doug's parents bring them all the time from Louisiana. Fucking, my dad would make them down there. It's good pork.
Oh, the andouille?
What? No.
The andouille?
I don't think so. It's the pork in...
Oh, the boudin.
Boudin! That's right. You guys don't have boudin?
No. It's boudin. It's boudin. Not boudin. It's
boudin. Boudin. You gotta draw it out.
You can't even say it right.
It's because I have an education. It's like,
oh, snap.
There goes all our Louisiana listeners. That sucks. Well, I'm just saying.
It's
boudin. Okay, so we got boudin. My father says boudin.
Well, you know.
He's like me. Well, no, boudin. I guess I'd be like him because there's that whole seed thing. Okay, so that's what we have. And we got that from the South. So now what we need to do is we get to bring this shit up here. We need Snicker bars.
We need Snicker salad.
And we have Snickers bars. They're everywhere. It's a staple American food.
God,
you can't replace or substitute for Milky Way or something like that. I mean, you have to go strict. Snickers.
What about Twix? Can you do anything with Twix? I love Twix.
Then you're just turning into more of like a cake type thing.
I like cake.
Yeah.
Oh, I love cake.
No. I would agree with Mike that if you substitute with Twix, it's more cake-like because the bar in the Twix is more of like a
bar,
like a
graham cracker.
I don't know. You know, it's more of that powdery.
Yeah, it's like a.
But Snickers has nuts. What if you have a peanut allergy?
Then you can't have it.
Okay. I don't have
one. You have the Three Musketeers salad.
Oh, that'd be fucking elite.
I think that'd be good.
Why?
No, I know.
It's like a Milky Way, right? Three Musketeers. I don't know what their difference is.
Lack of caramel.
Oh, really?
It's just whipped something or other.
I'm not a big fan of Snickers bars, but I mean, when you mix it with whipped cream, which I am a huge fan of, like I just eat it right out of the container, and then as apples, that's keeps you healthy. That's your vitamin A. So, I mean... This sounds like a very good fruit beverage substitute. What does
it? Ever had a porchetta?
Sounds familiar. Does it have pork in it?
Oh, say it again.
Lots of pork.
Porchetta.
No, say it again. What is that?
It's a pork roast essentially, with like all these different spices and fennel and whatnot. Yeah.
So can you put absinthe in there instead?
No,
I'm not entirely sure.
You can probably marinate it in absinthe.
In Sambuca.
Spell it.
God.
Porchetta or absinthe?
Porchetta.
Pork E-T-T-A.
A-B-S-I-N-T-H-E.
E-T-T-A. Porchetta.
I've never had that.
Oh, it's... Well,
it's he's north of you, right? No, he can't.
Cooks.com said, fuck off.
I'm both. 15 feet south of him right now.
Oh, so he's from the south, so you wouldn't understand that. Because it's got pork in it.
Oh, porchetta roast.
There you go.
Holy shit, it came up in...
It's like a small pork, porchetta. It's a female pork.
little pigling.
Yes.
Dill, fennel, oregano, lemon pepper, onion powder, and garlic powder.
So fennel, huh? So you're getting that black licorice thing.
No, yeah, it's the dill and the fennel that's
to be honest. The fennel does not come through because I actually used to have a job where I picked fennel, but it was I'm not a black licorice person.
If you had a job picking fennel, then you're already disqualified because you obviously would hate it. Like you can't have that much fennel. That's like a fennel factory.
It was so much fucking fennel.
Well, no. If you do a tablespoon of fennel over 4 pounds of boneless pork roast, that's nothing.
That's like when I do my absinthe recipes. It's you just barely coat the glass. You don't need much because it's got fennel or anise, whatever you want to call it. But you get
aniseed.
Anise. So you've got that going on. So I mean, you could marinate it in an absinthe.
That's what people with an education say.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Anise.
So I'm told.
So I'm told. Anise. Or anise. I've heard anise too.
Anise.
I like anise personally. Sing. But you know what? If you marinated a entire pork in an absinthe, it would be fucking awesome. Unfortunately, everybody would be wrecked because it's like 160 proof.
Yeah, speaking of wrecked.
Entomology, study of the history of birds. For the win!
Do we have anybody who's... Oh, never mind. I shouldn't ask that question because I know the answer. But has anyone had a strip and go naked? Mike, don't answer because I know you have.
I've seen Doug has done that. Is that what you mean?
A strip and go naked.
A strip and go naked? It's called. Yes. Is that a drink?
Yes.
I'm glad it's not another food.
A strip and go naked?
Only for barbecues.
Yes. So
I've done that with a hot tub.
No, that's different. That's usually naked and then go running.
Yeah. Oh.
So I had contemplated having that be my drink instead of just the Blue Moon. But what it is, I think it's 6 bottles of beer.
Okay. I see
in a pitcher.
Okay.
And a can of lemonade concentrate.
So it's a punch.
And I think you fill the empty can
with grain alcohol.
Vodka.
Okay, that's not good.
So the 3 ingredients: lemonade concentrate, vodka, 6 bottles of beer.
Wait, you fill 1 bottle of beer with vodka?
The empty lemonade.
Oh, so you're doing what? Like, it's probably like 12 ounces?
Is this a drink for one person or?
Dude, no, that's a punch.
No.
That's for everybody at the table.
Because, yeah,
that's
because I was like, drink. All right, 6 beers.
That's not bad.
Some lemonade and a
12 ounces of
vodka.
Yeah, 12 ounces of vodka.
Yeah, that's why I didn't make it, because our fridge is broken and the leftovers would not be able to be refrigerated, so.
The leftovers, you just drink it all at once, dude.
But yeah, that, I mean, it's amazing. You know, some people tell me, oh, blah, 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 try this drink. You can't even taste the coffee, or blah, 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 you can't even taste the whatever that I usually don't like. And I'm like, whatever, I taste it. But with this, you really cannot taste the alcohol or the beer at all.
Well, no, it's a solid block of frozen concentrated lemonade, and then you stick a straw in it and then put a drop of beer.
Right. So basically what you've
so good, and you can just drink those
until
just
you're
one after another until you're just stupid drunk.
You're either stupid drunk, you've gained 20 pounds, or you have a sugar problem now, which I think is called diabetes. So I mean, all those things can happen to you.
You're
right.
Diabetic alcoholic.
All at once within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's better than that car bomb.
Yeah, so those are good drinks. So I highly recommend taking one of those to a barbecue.
I've seen worse. Yeah, so Doug, you were saying the entomology. Do you know what that is? That's the study of the history of words.
Yeah, it's like the root of all evil.
No.
Oh, it's the root of words.
Right.
Which
the root
could
word
potentially be the entomology of evil, which would be like evil.
Right, which would be like, yeah, beer.
Which would probably be Latin.
It probably would be Latin. But this information I got from xrose.virginia.edu, so it's from a college, right? And it's in Virginia, so it's got to be legit. I didn't want to take it from Wiki because I figured that there was, you know, that's why up ahead what I did is the brilliance of Wiki, because you never know what's real and what's fake. And this had quotes from books and shit, so I thought this would be a little better. So you just follow me. This is all the truth. So the etymology of the term is vague. Barbecue, that is. But most plausible theory states that the word barbecue is a derivative word from West Indian term barbacoa, which is kind of like Coca-Cola. No, not really. Which denotes a method of slow cooking meat over hot coals. Bingo! That's what we're doing here in the U.S., especially in the South, where they got the pigs, and they're roasting them for like 7 days, and then you eat it, and you're like, this is the best thing I've ever had.
Doug, okay,
just
you can,
all day.
You can do Scottish accents. Now do a heavily Southern accent saying barbacoa.
Barbacoa?
There you go. You gotta have
the
oh.
So can you see how the barbecue kind of came out of that?
Barbacoa. Yeah, well, if you do a heavily drunk Southern
shit, if
accent.
If y'all want to go and get a barbacoa.
Yeah. No.
I'm up for it.
I don't even think, I've been to the South, I've never heard anybody reference it like that.
I've never heard of a barbacoa ever, but I mean, give me a Budweiser, I have 3.
Exactly. That's impressive. Okay. Scary, but impressive. then there's this.
That's what your mom said, Trebek.
Correct. We got to have the sound bit. Bon Appetit magazine blithely informed its readers that the word comes from an extinct tribe of Guyana. It sounds
sure.
Good. Guyana, who enjoyed cheerfully spit roasting captured enemies. Yeah, whatever. The Oxford English Dictionary, which has got to be the truth because it's Oxford, traces the word back to Haiti in other... I was reading it. I'm like, oh, I know that word. Score.
Dirk gets the gold star. Yay.
Yes.
Haiti.
All right.
It's a weird word.
Everyone with this word. Haiti.
It's a weird word that doesn't sound like it should, but it does, and you know it's just Haiti. So others claim somewhat implausibly that barbecue actually comes from the French word barbecue, meaning from head to tail. Proponents of this theory point out the whole hog cooking method espoused by some barbecue chefs. Who cooks a whole hog? Do people really do that? I don't know.
They do down here. So
in the cell.
How about a pit roast?
Well,
we call it a pig picking, but whatever.
A pig picking?
Yeah.
See, like I've got an uncle out in Jersey. Dig a hole in the ground, throw the hog in, and then throw a bunch of coals on top of it.
Last time I did that was in Waikiki, Hawaii. And we went to a luau, and they did that. They cooked it. It takes all day or whatever. Fucking awesome. But in the end, like, it's pretty good. And they must cook in a lot of pigs because there's a lot of people at a luau.
Wait, so wait, how did we get from fucking awesome to that's pretty good? Within about the same 5 seconds.
Well, because it was a different method. Anyway, Tar Heel magazine believes that the word barbecue comes from the 9th century.
Tar Heel, where is that from?
Is this a history lesson?
No, I'm just wondering if it was probably Tar Heel, probably from North Carolina.
Okay. See, I'm not from North Carolina, so I'm guessing maybe it's from North Carolina because the Tar Heels are a basketball team.
Oh, fucking shit.
Did I get it? Did I get it? No, I know you like basketball.
Ultimately, I'm gonna get angry. So just go on. The Tar Heel magazine, it's fucking Carolina.
All right, no, I thought I could pull you in, but you were smarter than that. The advertisement, 19th century advertisement for a combination of whiskey bar, beer hall, pool establishment, and there's a purveyor of pig roast.
Oh wow.
So there you get barbecue pig.
That's stretching it.
That is stretching it to the extreme, but it's good. I mean, it sounds good. I would buy. I would go to a bar and get some whiskey, a beer, and play some pool with a pig. Right? I mean, but the most convincing explanation is the method of roasting meat over powdery coals. Which, wow, wait, whoa, of roasting meat over powdery coals, which picked up from the indigenous people in the colonial period, and that barbacoa became barbecue in the lexicon of the early settlers. So basically, we go back to the beginning and say, look, it's like cooking shit slowly. I think that's fair.
So we can agree that a barbecue is a situation in which you'll be roasting some sort of meat with some sort of open flame outdoors.
And it's going to be good. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
history it up, bitches.
However, wait, you can also do veggie burgers. Just want to, you know, pull that out for our veggie friends.
Not invited.
Too long, not listening.
No.
So let's history it up, bitches. The roads of the southern United States are lined, I say, with a succession of grinning pigs advertising the available of barbecues in countless restaurants. Have you guys seen the grinning pigs?
No, but I've seen fucking Pedro and his goddamn fucking sombrero with fucking South of the Border.
Oh, dude.
More than I would like to say, but I digress.
You digress. Yes. But it is fair to say that there's some pig roast in the South. And
sure.
The origins of barbecue in the South, however, are traced to a period long before the smiling pig became a fixture in the southern roadsides. The history of barbecue itself, aside from its murky etymology origins... Etymology, whatever.
I think you spelled that wrong.
I didn't spell it. It's copy-paste, bitches.
All right.
For several reasons, the pigs became an omnipresent food staple in the South. Pigs were a low-maintenance and convenient food source for Southerners. In pre-Civil War periods, Southerners ate, on average, 5 pounds of pork for every 1 pound of beef.
I would like to throw out a trivia question.
We did this, but everybody got their buzzers.
It's yes or no.
Okay.
Is hog
yes?
Oh, wait. Or pig indigenous to this country?
Hog or pig? They came over in Pangaea when all the continents were combined together. They walked over and then they used the land bridge. I don't really know. Yes.
what's the answer? What?
No, the answer is no.
They all came over.
indigenous to this country.
They, well, that's, which was it? What were my options? Pork and what? Pig and what?
Hog.
Hog. They're all the same thing.
Or hog, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Like, I want your hog? No. I want a riot?
Either.
No. Okay, so...
Were they indigenous to this country?
No, they came over...
No!
They came over with the slaves.
They came over...
Oh, wait, I know the answer to this, Doug. Don't tell me. This is what happened. They came over when there was an airplane, and one of them came into a plane in the cargo bay, and when it landed, it ran off in the woods, and that caused... a disease, but it ended up being not a disease at all, but actually more pigs. They all just started forming like
it reproduced asexually.
Right. It's sort of like, you know how we get plant diseases that way? A good example are certain frogs that come over to Hawaii and they end up killing the ecosystem because they weren't natural to there and then they eat something that was really important. But no.
Exactly.
Okay, so were cows indigenous to the country?
No.
No.
Okay,
they
see?
Came over
neither
from
were horses.
Or England.
Okay, so we got England, we got horses from wherever. I think I heard somebody say India. Do we have anything here?
No, I think
Buffalo. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had that, and we had corn.
So we got corn and Buffalo Trace whiskey. Awesome.
Yep.
Bitchin'. I learned something today. I feel very good. Not to mention...
Had a lot of trees, so we had that going, too.
Well, we did have that going. Now they're gone.
Well, yeah, but you know what? There's certain trees that should just go away.
Well, it depends on where you are.
Like the trees up here... Do you guys have pine trees? Whoa.
Ginkgo trees. Have you had those?
Ginkgo?
No.
Ginkgo.
Not myself. Yeah.
Like ginkgo biloba?
No.
I don't know. They smell awful all the time.
Like, no.
No.
We have pine trees.
Maybe.
Like, literally, like ass. That is what they smell like.
I've never seen this tree or smell the tree that actually smells like somebody's ass.
We have some fucking horrid trees that when they bloom, their flowers smell like rotten meat.
Oh, that's awesome. I love rotten meat.
That's fucking horrid.
What if they could smell like roasting pigs?
Dude, I would go there every day.
Then that's a tree I could get behind.
And what? Fucking?
Save the trees.
That's beautiful, Doug. So
that's my kind of tree.
It is. I'll agree with you. We have pine trees that, in my opinion, are just really large weeds.
This was by far probably the most unorganized podcast ever.
Awesome.
Yet informative.
Very informative.
It was informative.
People listen.
If you could make it all the way through... In no way, shape, or form are you stupider from listening to it.
Look,
I wouldn't say in no way, shape, or form.
There's always ways to be stupid. But people listen for entertainment value.
Fine.
I think we entertain. I think, dude, come on. There's some
Your
fucking good shit in there.
Trebek.
See? Dude. Getting back on topic, Trebek. The tequila sour.
Mom was on topic, Trebek.
Wow, it just never
Cheers
ends
on my topic.
It never ends with you, does it?
No.
The tequila sour, have you ever had one of these?
Not at the moment, no.
It's actually very refreshing. You were saying, and it has kind of got a sweetness to it. It's very similar. A tequila sour to me tastes a lot like margarita without the sour. It's weird. I don't understand why. It just doesn't have as much sour to it. I think I have to push up the lemon and agave. I don't even think that would work because they're equal parts lemon and agave nectar. I don't think it – maybe I'll throw in some more Angostura bitters. It just tastes too good. Like, it tastes like it should be more sour, you know?
Dude, don't throw in more bitters.
Why?
Because then ultimately you'll just end up ruining it for yourself.
No, it tastes better now. No, I didn't put that much. It's not like I poured the whole goddamn 44% alcohol in here. All I'm saying is I took another dash.
Take a shot of it.
No.
Take a shot of bitters.
No, this is good. I'm not. Okay, I'll take a shot of
bitters. No, take a shot of bitters.
I can't because it's got one of those weird bitter holders on it.
You can fucking pull that shit out.
I don't know if you can you?
Pussy.
I'm trying. Jesus.
Pull it out. I can't.
It doesn't come. Oh, my hand is all brown.
Oh,
bitters. God damn it.
Take a shot.
I don't think this tastes that bad. Ooh, you're right. Not good. Okay, stop that.
I should have known.
Yeah, that's very much like...
Plus three internets to Derek for taking a shot of...
Wait, what is that?
Bitters.
It tastes like something. Like,
It tastes like fucking Moxie.
No.
Yes.
No. First, it tastes sort of like I might have licked a rotting strawberry, but then followed up by a slight bite of a 2x4, and then a little sawdust action, and then like a little champagne dryness.
Are you eating dirt?
No, because it wasn't dark enough to be dirt. It didn't have that dirt appeal. It didn't have the minerality of a dirt. It really tasted more like something that was rotting.
Huh.
With oak, if that makes
sense. Oh, that makes it okay. It's been oak.
It's over-oaked. The over-oaked rotting corpse. It doesn't rub off of your tongue really easy. It takes a long time. Overall.
Too much rubbing.
I highly don't suggest doing that, just for those that did. Doug, I don't know what you're talking about. We covered so much on barbecue that it's epic. We know exactly what you want to make. Right, I think. You never said, Doug, what you like at a barbecue. We've now learned about the Snicker salad, which is, I don't know, by far the best part of this podcast takeaway ever.
And
for those.
The next time you go to a barbecue, both of you are going to take it.
I'm
going to
take two. We learned how to fuck somebody up with a drink that has way too much vodka and beer. What is your deal, Doug? What do you want to have when you go to a barbecue? What do you consider the best thing that you can eat at a barbecue? Is it the coleslaw?
It's part of that.
Part coleslaw.
Honestly, I'm very simple when I go to barbecues. All I want is a really good hot dog. So if you have Nathan's.
With a little ketchup on there?
Or if you have. Fuck off.
Sorry.
I knew that was going to come.
I know.
Nathan's or Sabrette's or my favorite, Hebrew National. All beef hot dogs.
Well, obviously all beef. What do you make them out of? Turkey? Turkey.
Dude, I have no idea ballpark franks are made out of.
Beef. I get the beef ballpark franks. The extra, like the ones that are supposed to fit like a bun. I don't know why they make one. They make a hot dog and they're like, this hot dog fits a bun. What the fuck didn't you make your first hot dog fit a bun? Why do you need a second one that did it right? It's like ballpark Frank 2.0. Why don't you just make that your Frank? Anyway, go ahead. So
anyway,
you like do you like
I'm very sauerkraut? Simple. All I want is a good hot dog. So it can be either Nathan's or Sabrette's or Hebrew National, which are my favorite, with some chili, some mustard, and some coleslaw.
So you don't eat a simple hot dog. It's actually a very complex hot dog. You put the chili on the hot dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not very simple. That's actually
And then you put the coleslaw on top as well.
What do you feel about microwave hot dogs?
I'm okay with that.
Actually, I am too.
They're pretty good.
I don't know why. I don't.
Yeah, I'm completely okay with microwave and hot dog.
I don't know.
Mean, all you're doing is cooking it. If you really want to get, you know, sophisticated or complex with your hot dog, boil the shit first in beer, like with a Yingling.
Okay, I get that.
So boil your hot dogs in Yingling and then finish them up on your grill to heat them up.
That's a lot of Yingling. Then,
yeah, well, I mean, it depends on how many hot dogs you got. But
right.
Yeah, so you boil the hot dogs in Yingling. You know, to cook them through, and then you just finish them off on the grill, and then bun, mustard, chili, coleslaw. Slaw dogs. Fucking awesome.
Really?
And if you've never had a slaw dog, you need to have a slaw dog. If you've never had a chili and slaw burger, you need to have a chili and slaw burger.
You don't call it coleslaw, you call it slaw, huh? Is that a Southern thing? You guys can't finish your words? Like coleslaw? It's not that hard of a word, I mean, coleslaw.
No, it's the uneducated.
Oh, you know what it is? It's just too much to say coleslaw dog. There's like too many syllables and stuff.
Or you can go cabbage mixture with mayonnaise and mustard and vinegar.
That's coleslaw.
Mixture.
But, okay, so that's actually entertaining because I would tend to agree with you. Although my hot dogs are actually simple. Where yours are start out simple and then they get a little more complex because I don't really have any chili around. Like when I go to barbecue, I've never seen chili ever. So from that point, I really can't relate, although I like chili, so I would totally be with you. If we both went to a cookout and they were like, well, here's our hot dogs, but you got to put chili on them, I'd be like, hells yeah, but I don't have that here.
Yeah.
So what I typically do, yeah, I know. What I like to do, though, is I like when I go to a barbecue, if they have a chicken, I usually start with a little chicken, like a half a breast of chicken or whatever. Then I like to experience the whole thing. So I'll go with a half breast of chicken. Then I'll go with a hamburger, right? And I'll put some like ketchup and a little relish on there and maybe some mustard. I just, you know, go all crazy. I'll eat that. Then I like to finish with a hot dog, but a simple hot dog, like cooked normal hot dog. I don't care what the fuck type of hot dog it is. I haven't had a hot dog that I could say tastes like ass. They all taste to me like a hot dog. I've never had one.
Oh, you're so wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Yes, you are.
No, are you telling me right now that every hot dog that I have had hasn't tasted the same? I can't be wrong. No, because
no, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes.
No.
You are.
So what hot dog have I had that has been super good? Name
have you
it.
Been to a baseball game or a circus?
No, I hate the baseball games.
A circus. How about out of a gas station?
I've never had a gas station hot dog because just seems wrong.
Now, if you tomorrow go to the gas station, get one of the ones off the rolling eating ovens,
the hot dog guy? Okay, yeah.
You might change your mind.
I could.
You will say that one was crisp.
I would say that it was
rock solid.
I would probably say that I am – let me tell you something right now. If I stop at a convenience store or gas station to buy a hot dog, first off, I'm super fucking hungry, right? So anything at that point in time is going to be the best thing on earth, right? I could drink my own piss and be like, this is fucking Kool-Aid, right? But typically, I don't do that. So for me, all I'm saying is that I haven't had – I think Deutschmacher or something like that was probably the white hot dogs. I think those are Deutschmacher.
Yeah,
white hot dogs.
They're kind of whitish.
Yeah, they're the German hot dogs type.
I don't get it. Like, I haven't had a hot dog where I'm like, dude, this is a good hot dog. To me, they taste like a goddamn hot dog. And
a fucking Hebrew National is phenomenally better than like a fucking generic thing that you like the ballpark Franks.
You might be right, but where you're wrong is I haven't had one of those. So every hot dog that I have had has tasted the same because I don't go out and buy. I'm not a connoisseur of hot dogs, so I'm not like going to the store like I want to buy. I don't go and ask what's the best hot dog you guys sell. Because they're going to look at me like I have fucking five heads. Then I'm going to get a ballpark. What the fuck do I care? I'm working for fucking minimum wage.
Look for either Sabrette's or Nathan's or Hebrew National. And if they have all three, go Hebrew National.
I can do that. But I am not educated in the ways of hot dogs, Doug. So what I'm telling you is that every hot dog I've had is tasted pretty much like a fucking hot dog. So what I typically do is I get a hot dog and I still like it. Like, I'm probably going to like the ones you like that you're talking about better, right? But I usually lay down.
I know. You put ketchup on it.
No. I did.
Thank
God. No, I did. I used to.
Then we had
the conversation, and you're like, no, you need to try. Remember you told me I needed to go back and try a hot dog with ketchup and a hot dog without ketchup? Well, mm-hmm. Do you not think I'm a dedicated cousin? Fuck yeah, I did that, right? So I went back. I said, okay, I'm at a cookout. I'm going to try a hot dog. I'm going to have two hot dogs, please. Boom, get two hot dogs. One, I put ketchup. Typically, I put ketchup and mustard. I played it Doug's way. I did ketchup and did mustard. I did brown mustard, like not Grey Poupon brown mustard, but like Gold's or whatever the fuck it was. Something that's like real mustard because I like brown
mustard.
Good
enough.
Right?
Right.
Drop some brown mustard on there. Drop some ketchup on there. And I was like, I did the in-depth analysis and I went, yeah, fuck, you're right. The ketchup, the sweetness on the ketchup.
I could
hug you. And the sweetness on the ketchup was a little overboard, and it was. And yes. At that point, what I'm doing is I'm actually enjoying the ketchup. I like ketchup. I'm enjoying the ketchup. Boom. It's like I could eat the ketchup straight, but that would be awkward, so I'm going to have it with a hot dog. Then when I had it with the mustard, I was like, hey, this is a pretty damn good hot dog because it's got this, like, the sour on the mustard, and it's got the – I put a little – on the other side, I put one side mustard and one side, the dill the relish or whatnot.
Relish, nice.
And I was like, that tastes better. Don't exactly know why my taste buds aren't wrong. They're like, dude, you fucking hit it right here. This is the shit. So now – I only go with mustard. Now, I am still convincing my son of that.
I could hug you.
But kids don't understand that. They want both. My son does like brown mustard, though, so that's okay. But all I'm saying is I followed your rule, and it was on the right path. But I'm telling you, every hot dog that I have had, none of them stand out as like, this is a goddamn hot dog I'm going to buy next time. I just haven't had that hot dog yet. I haven't had the magical moment. That's all.
The next time you have the opportunity, then. Get yourself some generic, cheap-ass motherfucking hot dog. Whatever it is. It can be ballpark.
I buy ballpark all the
time. It can be whatever it is. And then try that with mustard. And then try a Hebrew National or Sabrette's or Nathan's. And then do your taste test. And you'll see that I'm right.
I'll have to do it because I followed through the last time. I did what you told me to. I had my fucking hot dog with mustard only.
All right, fine. But so, see? For the podcast, all you need to know at this point is you can have Blue Moon with or without fruit. You can have Sam Adams Lager, which is...
Wait, no. He's having Boston Lager. Okay, I got it.
Yeah. I did, yeah. That was gone a long time ago.
which is a great beer to have with whatever you're eating at a barbecue. And then you can go cocktail with what you're doing, which is the Tequila Sour or the Dark and Stormy. I would not necessarily recommend the Dark and Stormy with barbecue, but I mean, it's
what's wrong with the Dark and Stormy? Is it not having enough mustard?
I think that particular drink works better with like
Asian
something
food?
Lighter. Like in the event you're having like
chicken,
maybe fish. Or chicken, or if you're at a clam bake.
Ooh, an oyster stout.
What the hell would I do with a oyster stout? Huh. Clam bake, that's not me.
No, I do a clam.
No, not a big fan.
Mm-mm.
Or if you're going to go my route, I would highly suggest the champagne and the lambic. I would not suggest the stout and champagne at a barbecue.
No. Actually, you know what? You should try sometime since you've got the lambic there and the stout. Let's see. What is it? You do the Lindeman's Frambois lambic, and then you mix that with, what is it? It's a double chocolate stout. I forgot whose it was. Got the name of it. Double anyways. Chocolate.
The English one?
Yeah, yeah.
Young's?
Yeah.
Double chocolate?
Yeah, mix that with the lambic. Oh, that is a good drink.
Really?
Yeah, that is a really good drink.
If I dump my Lion's Stout in my current mixture... What do you think?
Do you have the champagne in there still?
yeah. Actually, I do.
Get the champagne out. So well.
All right,
as we proved earlier with the stout plus champagne.
All right, hold on. I'll finish this real quick.
I still think that the ginger notes from the Dark and Stormy would be great for playing horseshoes and hanging out around a pool, like at the barbecue. I might drink it with ribs, like a spicy ribs. That might work. Hamburgers, I don't know. With a hamburger, I'm thinking Sam Adams Boston Lager.
Yeah.
Because Boston Lager is like that's your catch-all. When you just need a drink, you're like, what do you got? If I go to a bar and it doesn't look like a bar that really knows shit about beer, I'm just like, you got Sam Adams? Yeah, I got that.
It's an everyman's beer, but it's like an actual beer as opposed to just piss.
Right. It's not a Bud. I got Bud Light. You can, fine. If you like Bud Light, that's cool. If you like, I don't know, hops or taste, then you might try something different. At least the Sam Adams, you know, it's like a good fallback. They're going to have it.
Yep.
And they'll have it, oddly enough. I don't know if it's the same out there, but around here, a Boston Lager is much more predominant than a Boston Ale.
Oh, yeah. You'll never find a Boston Ale here. You've got to get it in a bottle during summer. You can't find it on tap ever.
It's almost like a seasonal, but it doesn't make sense. And some places will have it. I'm like, wow. When I'll question them, I'm like, Boston Ale? Or because I'm not a huge fan of the Boston Lager. I don't really know why. I've just never really, I like the Boston Ale. I never liked the lager that much. So
it's a lager.
It's just, for some reason, it's got a little bitterness to me that I think what happens is it had something to do with like maybe my psyche or being a kid and drinking or something. I have to go back and redo it and retry it now. It's like my whiskey experience. I wouldn't touch whiskey for years. Now I drink more whiskey than I know what to do with because I have more whiskey than I know what to do with. So I end up drinking it. But before, it's sort of like once you've established taste, then it's hard to get by that taste and go, you know what, let's try this over again. I got to do that. I got to be like, let's pretend I never had this before. Maybe a blind tasting.
Oh, God, I remember why I hated this.
And a lot of times I think that in those situations, I would actually not be able to, I wouldn't have the problems I would have if I didn't know what I was drinking. If somebody just handed me alcohol, because I'll drink anything. You hand me alcohol, I'll drink it. I don't fucking care. But I think at this point, if I did that with a Boston Lager, I might not spot it as, oh, this is Sam Adams Boston Lager. I'd be like, oh, this is a nice lager. And that would totally ruin my current problem with Boston Lager.
That's okay. You can try the new... Budweiser has a new beer out called the Select 55.
What?
And Select 55.
Select 55. I never heard of that one.
It's competing with the MGD 64, essentially like the lowest calorie possible beer possible with the lowest amount of flavor, the lowest amount of color, lowest amount... You know, just water.
You know what? That pisses me off.
Yeah.
It's like the Ultra, whatever the fuck they call it, Mick Ultra.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the new Budweiser that's supposed to be coming out. You can try one of those, and then you can try Boston Lager. You'll be like, you know what?
Dude.
This is an epic beer.
Look, this is my problem with that shit. It tastes like water, right? Now, if you're drinking water to get drunk, like you're drinking Michelob Ultra to get drunk, just go on the hard alcohol. Take some Vive, Asahi Spirit, take some vodka, take some flavorful stuff that doesn't have a lot of calories in it. Because look at it. Even if you take a dark rum like from Gosling's or Don Q or what else do I have here? I've got a Fakrusian. Any of these rums is going to give you an epically better taste proportion, and you're going to get just as nailed more so with less calories. So you're taking in 90 calories and going, oh, I could drink four of these Mick Ultras instead of that one Bud Light. Shit, you can drink three neat or maybe even on ice good rums, and you're going to be just as messed up if that's your goal, but you're gonna have a better tasting experience. Why do you have to go ultra light beer? It's fucking trendy.
That's why we exist.
I don't know how that's trendy. what's cool about that? I like flavor. I don't like any flavor in my drink. I just like spending $7 on it.
That's what people do. That's the trend. It's like the 50s again, where
your
you got canned ham.
Spend $7 on it.
Dude, I've read the history of American beer making, and there were some shitty spots in life, and we finally got over that. We're over that hump now. We should stop trying to get back there. That's all I'm saying.
It's a battle.
So what, Doug, did you do your lambic mix?
I did, with the Lion Stout.
How's that going for you?
Yeah, prefer to try it with the Youngs.
Not a fan?
I would prefer to try it with the Youngs, because
I can see
where the chocolatey roast of the malt would work better with a lambic than the Lion's Stout.
Doesn't have the chocolate?
The Lion's just not as strong in those aspects.
No, it's really not.
What about like a Shipyard? No, not Shipyard. What the fuck was the one? I can't remember the name of the stout that I had. The Oatmeal Stout that I had when we did the Oatmeal Stout episode. Fuck.
Yeah, if anything, you probably, instead of oatmeal, you want to go something more like a milk stout.
Yeah.
I've never seen a milk stout.
Like Left Hand Brewing out of Colorado, they've got a milk stout that's awesome. I don't know what else would be there. Otherwise, most everything out of England, that's a stout.
Guinness.
Guinness is going to be a little bit like...
Vanilla ice cream?
Yeah.
With beer.
Is, actually.
I love that's exactly what... It's like a root beer float without root beer.
Yep. Yeah. It's pretty light, fluffy, creamy. The Lion Stout is much more chocolatey than a Guinness would be.
I like chocolate.
But you can go a lot more in that area than the Lion is.
He's still trying.
Yeah,
still
I would say that the Lion is probably a little more chocolatier than a Guinness. But I would say that if you're going to mix it with the Lambic, you know, go for the Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
You can't go wrong with chocolate, dude. The only other thing better than a chocolate stout... Fucking Snickers salad.
I'm sorry, I forgot already.
You can't forget that. I'm telling you, if there's one thing you can take from this episode, it's a Snickers salad. Unless you already know about the Snickers salad, then you want me to go with Doug's creation here.
then I'm not walking away with anything.
Right, you got to walk away with something.
The Lions plus champagne.
Exactly.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. Holy shit, Doug is drunk because he's fucking drilling me with instant messages. You're slowing down my connection. Anyway, does anybody else have anything completely odd to add? Chicken wings? Anything?
No.
No? All right, Doug. Hey, you done that shit yet? You're not?
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
My mom. Okay. So, I think if there's... In summary... What you want to do is you want to take away from this as getting in a Snickers salad. You got to do that tomorrow. If you're looking for different cocktails, I think the theme of the show is simplicity. Don't get all crazy. Don't listen to anything I said about the top 10 beer cocktails that don't suck. Really, if it's got more than three components in it, if you're the host of a barbecue, that's going to be a big pain in the balls because you got a lot of shit to do. You're going to handle a lot of people. You're going to be cooking. You don't want to burn anything. You don't want to do too much multitasking. You could do a tequila sour, pretty basic. You could do any of the beer cocktails, easy. You take beer and you dump in some shit from your refrigerator. you know, and cook up some pork. And for all those people I might have insulted that are either in the South, who else did I insult? People that can't speak or uneducated. People probably wouldn't know.
Indians.
I know that was after show. That was pre show.
Dave just showed up.
What?
Skype in Dave.
All right, hold on a second.
Skype in Dave.
Dave DeRoche, add to conference. Let's just rag on it for a little bit, and then we can end it with that.
No. Let's.
You're gonna bring him in so we can do
like he was here the whole time.
Oh, okay. And
let's just leave it up to me to edit the show.
There you go. Let's leave it to our podcast producer, like Lightall.
Lightall. Did he just
Lightall.
Oh, he probably disconnected because he probably had some speaker issues. No, I'll send him a text message.
I don't have to use my last name, you know, since I'm like the only person other than Derek whose last name we say.
Oh, he said try again. All right. At the conference.
And our podcast producer,
Luke. It doesn't sound right with just Luke.
I don't even necessarily have to be.
You gotta say like,
Luke.
See?
Luke.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Dave, that's nice you to show up at 9:30 promptly.
What the fuck is up?
You're going to get here right on time.
Just as Derek is trying to wrap up.
So
No. Dave's been here the entire time. Luke, you have to edit things in post.
I'm guessing what happened is...
Wait. Derek, hold on.
Okay, I'm holding.
We're going to make this easy for Luke. I'm going to ask Dave a series of questions.
Oh, no.
He's going to superimpose... Like he's gonna Photoshop this shit.
It's
right
an audio
conversation.
You could probably just slice words from previous episodes together and make it sound like I'm into like goat love or something, whatever.
Luke, could do that. You got time.
Tentacle porn.
Yeah, that's true. So Dave, actually, none of us will speak and you will laugh and I'll just put that in here and there.
Wait.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Dave, laugh.
Ha.
I could totally cut that in everywhere.
Wow.
I was going for sarcasm there today. Did I do it?
You pulled it off with flying colors like red, white, and blue and green.
No, it wasn't even a sarcastic laugh. It was more of my ironic laugh. Or a meta laugh.
Meta laugh. Hey Dave, did you let me guess, your wife reminded you of something that you need to go to?
No, did you get my text?
No, I didn't.
I've got a it's good that you check your phone.
I can't check my phone. I'm doing a podcast.
Hey, I know I said it before the podcast.
I sent you an email. No, I didn't get you. You sent me a text message?
Yeah.
Who does text messages? I have email.
I almost sent a text message today.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I just got back from the animal hospital.
Animal hospital?
Yeah.
Dude, you're not that big.
Well, no, my healthcare plan's not very good.
Why do I have a feeling this is more serious than that? Because you have animals, but yeah,
public option.
That was
public option.
Small tables.
But that was somehow came out still funny.
One of the dogs on Wednesday night started throwing up and having diarrhea everywhere, and we brought him up to. There's actually a really good animal emergency room up in Nashua. So we brought him then, and they pretty much sent him home with like some, you know, an antibiotic shot. And
it's just like the regular hospital, like HMO.
Yeah. Well, he started vomiting and shitting blood. So he's got something called HGE, which is hemorrhagic gastroenteritis.
That doesn't help me.
Pretty much, if you don't treat them, they can die pretty quick from it because their immune system crashes pretty quick. So he's been in there since then. And he's on like an IV drip of antibiotics and painkillers and some other stuff. So they wanted us to go in tonight because he's not eating for them. So we made up some rice and boiled chicken and he ate a little bit.
So like to go in because he would eat with the people he knows.
Yeah, exactly. He's
my dog won't
he's
eat.
My youngest dog and he's a little bit stressful. Like not stressful. He gets stressed out really easily and he's very fearful. So he doesn't handle the vet normally.
I got one of those. Good time.
Yeah. So, anyways, he ate a little bit, and he's looking pretty rough, but he's better than he was. So, hopefully, he'll be coming home in the next couple of days.
So, you sent me a text message that said you're at the animal hospital.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Dave. I don't get text messages. I probably would have, but I don't carry my phone on me because the battery was dying, so I put it up. I sent you an instant message, which I figured you had Gmail on your phone, so I thought that would work.
I do. I haven't been checking it, though.
You asshole!
Actually, I can see your IM now. That I stayed logged in on my Mac.
Well, you probably got the three Skypes that say, are you there?
Yeah. One of those, actually.
Yeah, because
I still want to go ahead and ask Dave a handful of questions that can be superimposed.
It's not superimposed. I don't know what it is.
Edited in.
That's fine.
Photoshopped in.
Oh god.
Fucking Photoshop this shit, Luke. What Doug says, you just Photoshop right into this.
Photoshop.
Audio Photoshop.
Audio Photoshop Dave's responses into the handful of questions that I have for Dave.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Sure.
Dave, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Singha, which is a Thai beer, but I'm adding lime juice to it. Or actually, limeade.
Limeade.
Excellent.
Like lemonade, but limeade, right? So.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff.
There's this thing that they do in England called a shandy or a topper where they take a lager and they drop about, you know, an inch of lemonade or something on top. And it's pretty good. It's pretty refreshing. So I figured I'd mix that up a little bit but do it with limeade. But I got gypped because Singha, normally when you get it, I might be confused here, but I remember it being like 7.5% alcohol.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was figuring that because I was going to be diluting the beer down, I'd get that and I'd be all set because then, you know, when I'd added a little bit of limeade to it, I'd be all set.
But,
and it'd be back to what a normal beer would be. But I got gypped. Apparently the export stuff is only 5%.
Ooh. Oh,
bastards.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a strip and go naked?
Not since college, and the police asked me never to do it. No, I don't even know what that is.
Since you've been here for the entire episode up to this point.
Of course. I had some technical difficulties. You couldn't hear me, that's all.
Right. He was on mute.
How do you feel about Snicker salad?
Snicker salad? Like Snicker bars?
Yeah.
Yes, Snicker bars with Granny apple.
Granny Smith apple.
Granny Smith apple and...
Whipped cream.
Yep.
Whipped cream!
In a salad. That would be your whole salad. It's in a big bowl.
That sounds like haute cuisine if I was 7.
But what if you Excellent. Were, say, 34?
I'd have to be pretty drunk to try that.
Really?
All right. Excellent.
I would try that immediately right now. But
I would too. I would be like, give me the biggest
spoon. But because I've been here the whole episode,
you're
I would
drunk.
Certainly try that. Wink, wink.
All right.
He's got these all
how
lined
do you,
up.
How do you feel about whole pigs roasted over coals for a day?
I've had that, actually.
And was it good?
Awesome.
How do you feel about that?
Like his inner child?
No, not like his inner child. Like how does Dave feel about having his beer cocktail thing that he has with barbecue?
Well, barbecue is just awesome. I mean, the only thing about pigs that are a little weird when you have them whole like that is it's got a face. You know what I mean? But
you don't want to put a face
said,
to it.
Pig cheeks are like the best thing.
Pig
have you ever had that?
No, I can't remember the last time I had pig cheeks.
Well,
the actually,
cheeks of the pig are really good.
They're excellent. They really are.
I've had bacon. Does that count?
There's this thing that you can get in the Philippines called suckling pig, and what they do is they take a couple week old piglet and they basically splay it open and they roast it that way. So you're eating basically all the way from the skin to the inside. Which is a little revolting at first, but then you taste the skin once it's all crispy, and I can't be a vegetarian.
But
got a theory that, bacon is perhaps the greatest food substance in the world, right? I mean, if you take bacon and beer away from someone, they're going to want to blow shit up, and that's that explains terrorism.
Nice.
Now there's a sound bit. If what we need to do is we need to give bacon to every third world country, and they'll never want to cause war. Does that satisfy the answer to your question, Doug?
Yes. Dave, in the event you have a hot dog, would you prefer Nathan's, Soubrette's, or Hebrew Nationals?
You didn't give them the option of ballpark?
I don't know what Soubrette's is, but I always buy Hebrew National.
Fuck.
There you go.
Because Theoretically, they have less lips and assholes in them.
Is that why you buy it? Because you don't like lips and assholes, yet you just ate a whole pig from the skin to the intestine?
I do, just not in my hot dogs. I'm very picky about that.
Oh, okay.
Do you have ketchup on your hot dogs?
Occasionally.
When you're drunk?
But if I do, it's usually ketchup and mustard together.
Why really in the like fucking world would you have fucking ketchup on your goddamn hot dog?
You know what I did though? Is, if you go to Chicago and get a dog there where they do it with the celery salt and stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but does it have ketchup on it?
No.
Okay.
Exactly.
So what's your deal with ketchup all of a sudden? Because Doug's inquiring minds want to know.
No, I like ketchup and I find it perfectly acceptable on a dog. I know the purists out there, I think Doug is amongst them.
Yeah.
They don't like ketchup on a dog, but
See, that's what I said. I like ketchup. So really a hot dog is just an excuse to eat ketchup.
Yeah, it's another vehicle for the ketchup.
You want to know what is an excuse to have ketchup?
Big Mac.
French fries.
French fries is a good idea.
Fucking fried.
But French fries are bad for you, Doug.
Yeah, well, you know, they're fucking tasty with some fucking high fructose corn syrup and tomato puree.
I agree. Follow
that
you.
Is ketchup.
I follow you. My heart is out to you.
That in some vinegar and maybe some salt and some pepper.
I'll buy that for a dollar. Okay. Next question.
All right. Next question is, Dave, in the event you were at a barbecue, would you drink a Dark and Stormy?
Is that the tequila and beer?
No, you're way off.
No, that's a it's root beer and
ginger beer,
spicy
dark
root
rum.
Beer.
Dark rum.
Spicy ginger ale.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Did I say root beer?
Yes. Ginger rum. Rum.
Ginger rum.
No, ginger. I'm screwed up too. Ginger beer, rum, and lime juice.
I'd give it a shot. I haven't had one before. I mean, is it refreshing at all?
Yeah, it's refreshing.
If you're at a barbecue, you're eating, you know, barbecue, pork, sauce, etc. You want something that's going to cut the grease, right?
I would. But yeah, I mean, it's spicy, so you got that going. It's ginger. Overall, I think the root of the drink would be ginger, which would be good with Chinese food, but we're not at a Chinese food restaurant. We're at a barbecue.
Barbecue.
I'm not sure I'm feeling that with the barbecue.
Whoa. See, that Doug for some reason thinks that my idea of a pairing would be bad. I thought that a little spicy barbecue, like a ribs, like a little spicy chipotle and some ginger beer with a little Gosling's rum. Would be a good pairing.
I'm just thinking more like, you know, if you eat Mexican food or something with some heat to it, I usually want like a thin, light, cold beer with it or something.
I would go with probably an Asian beer, a shochu, or maybe, what's the other one there? Sake, you know, Chinese food, no?
Or a Kirin.
Or something that's starchy, maybe? Is that what I'm thinking?
Actually, the Singha that I picked up is kick-ass for that.
See?
And according to the guys, when I was in Bangkok, they were saying that the reason that the beer has a little bit of a higher alcohol content is because they drop ice cubes in it to keep it cold.
So it waters it down?
Yeah, a lot of the restaurants are outdoors.
That would make sense.
So,
An ice bock.
Yes. There you go. Ice bock.
Have you had one of those?
I have not ever put ice in my bock.
It's the way they create the bock itself. They freeze it. And then they extract the ice so that that gets rid of the water, and you just have a higher alcohol content beer in the end then.
So it's like ice wine, but in a bock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, except for it would hurt you. I mean, is it like sweet?
No, it's just a regular beer. It's just higher in alcohol because they extracted the water from it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I would say that my experience with bocks, they are generally a little bit maltier and sweeter than, let's say, an ale.
But then you add in more alcohol, and it's a fucking party. Right? Isn't that how it works? Right.
In the event you were
You've used in the event three times. That's your crush word. Move on. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So another question for Dave. So you're at a barbecue, and your mother-in-law is there. Do you show her
your penis?
Tentacle porn.
Tentacle porn?
I could have gone so many ways.
Do you show her what? Sorry.
Tentacle porn.
Hmm. Is she hot?
Yes. Yes, she is. One might describe her as a MILF.
Well, the thing is, in my experience,
mother-in-law,
tentacle porn at family gatherings generally doesn't go over well.
Not regarded highly.
in your experience?
The last time Dave did this.
Any attempts.
Last time Dave did this, he got kicked out of a very, very sensitive party and a family reunion.
And admittedly, it was a nice restaurant, and I don't know if they appreciated it, and the kids certainly didn't like it, but...
Pretty sure they wouldn't know what's going on.
Right. There's a tentacle in there, mommy. Okay.
I mean, one of them was anime. It was a cartoon. I thought that was very kid-friendly.
It's not real.
Exactly. Kids love cartoons.
Not to be confused with calamari.
Right. Because that goes in your face, not in your vagina. Next question.
I don't see why you can't combine the two. I mean, you know, have fun with it while it's alive and then have some lunch after.
This is true.
I don't even know where to go with that.
Yeah, that's where we go. Next question, Doug.
In the event...
You said that already.
Oh, shit. Goddamn. Well, it's questions after the fact. I mean, what do you want from me?
Something other than in the event.
What do you want from me? That's a fucking Pink Floyd song. What do you want from me? I don't know. What do you want? In the event.
Substitute. It is written.
If you had to play a Pink Floyd album at a barbecue, which one would it be and why?
When did we talk about that?
Momentary Lapse of Reason. Shh. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, you're trying to loop it in.
No talkie.
I'm a big fan of Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
But...
Smoke pot to that one.
Okay.
Dave's a big pothead.
Some of the newer ones, like the Division Bell, I think are a little more like crowd-friendly.
What do you want from me? Yes, I think so. Crowd friendly? Okay. What are you getting shot by pellets? No.
Oh.
Like, no. So think of, let's say, the Final Cut, and
that's not Pink
tell
Floyd.
Me your thoughts on the Final Cut at a barbecue.
All right, hold on. Pause. Anytime you talk about the Final Cut in anything, it's always going to be bad.
Are you talking about the movie?
No.
No. The album.
It's a fucking. It's not Pink Floyd though.
Hang on.
It's what's his
Final
name?
Cut, right? Let's see. Sounds like this. Why is it not playing?
Because it's buffering.
No. It's I've got it.
You own the Final. Oh, you own everything. That's right.
I have everything. The internet belongs to me. Someday I'll show you guys some really cool shit that you can do on the internet. You're not really good.
Oh my god, this is awful. You're not playing it very good.
No, I don't. This isn't an album that I ever really listened to.
So you can't find
it? Based on the song that I'm hearing right now, I can see why.
Do you want to kill yourself at a barbecue? Is what I think he's trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's a barbecue. You don't want to be getting all emo and moody, right?
Right, no emo. A
Duran Duran listening selection, don't you think?
I would go with the B-52s.
To Cure.
Rome, yeah. If you want to. I would go with the B-52s, just because we did earlier. No, so he doesn't like the Final Cut, Doug, which I don't blame him for.
So did I miss anything good that, I mean, obviously I was here, but, you know.
No, you missed the history of a barbecue and a rant about hot dogs.
There was this dude that we used to work with, Derek. Do you remember Jay?
Need a last name. I know a lot of Jays in my life.
Kelly, a little bald muscle-head dude.
Jay was a bald muscle-head dude.
Which one?
Jay.
He used to have a barbecue every year where it was a pig roast, and he'd rent this like big... pig roasting apparatus thing. And I guess to do a pig roast, you have to start it real early in the morning. So
right.
He would, and he'd sit there and babysit it and start drinking from real early in the morning. So by the time the barbecue came around, he was annihilated.
Interesting.
And like talking to the pig and stuff. It was a good time.
But that goes back to my you weren't here. Well, you were here, but you weren't here. Is that
here, really?
Right. Is that...
Would you like say that was more... apropos of listening to animals than the wall.
I should probably warn you, I'm not a huge Pink Floyd fan.
I don't even know how we got into Pink Floyd, so...
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was...
He likes the wall because Animals is not a known album. And it's just a bunch of people...
Why is that not a known album?
I don't know.
It's a bunch of bullshit. It should be a known album.
But it's not. I'm not lying to you, dude. You go on this... You need to go walk the street with a microphone and a camera and ask everybody who's heard of Animals or The Wall. You tell me which one they know.
The Wall.
Yeah. Because it's got a fucking movie and there's Nazis in it. That's why they know The Wall. You don't know Animals because they're fucking pigs. You need Nazis to make shit really roll. That's where the fucking juice, that's how you make, that's the thing, that's what you need. You can't.
Technically, it's actually pigs, dogs, and sheep, but, you know.
Right. But well, you know what I'm saying.
It is.
You bring Nazis in there and Holocaust, and people start fucking listening, is what I'm saying.
Again, I want to know. I cannot think of another phrase that I can use apropos again.
Pulse is a great album.
Can I get a $1.25 for using apropos appropriately in a conversation?
I would let you, but I hear it so much that it's not. It's too common.
Ah, fuck.
Well,
also Unix command.
It is, actually. But no, I hear because it's a more common word in German, and that's kind of like why.
All right, fine. Never mind. What were you guys talking about? Chefs?
What?
Bon Appetit?
No.
Etymology?
No,
maybe,
no.
Maybe Wikipedia?
I was saying that.
Were you pissed off about Wikipedia again?
I haven't looked at Wikipedia in a little while, so I haven't gotten pissed. Usually every time I open it, I get pissed, though.
Right.
Fucking an article of the day.
Fucking A. Anyway, I guess we can let editors do what they need to do to make this not.
Oh God. Weird. Yeah. I hope you don't need this episode anytime soon.
By tomorrow. No, I really don't know.
I hate your face so much.
It didn't really come on to become part of the episode. I just wanted to explain why.
Oh, I know, but that was kind of funny anyway. Because it's always good to hear Doug try and whatever, bring you back in.
I would love to hear just like us talking about fucking whatever and then Dave just intercut.
Yeah. You know,
just like blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's a lot of work. Well, we'll let Luke figure
seriously,
it out.
Seriously. Honestly, Luke, if you can just do a bad editing job and just drop Dave in the middle of fucking whatever.
Well, that's not hard.
No. I think that would be appropriate for
it would
the
be
podcast.
Apropos.
It would be apropos.
I think the correct term is hackerific.
Yeah, all right, hackerific.
I think we're going to end up going back to the days
or
when,
a bad shoop.
I think it was Doug who said something like, wait, I have like an announcement. It played some sort of like a news broadcast sound effect kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, wait.
I remember
Dave,
that now.
Dave has something to say.
No, you said you had, I have something good to add to the conversation or something like that. And I was like, or I have something informative or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right.
And somebody said.
It was cool.
It'd be really funny that if. Somebody, yeah.
Yeah, we did. And we did. All right, I'm hot, and I have to pee like a fucking bad bandit. So,
does your air conditioning not work, too?
No, the air conditioning doesn't work up here.
You're H-A-W-T hot.
No, I'm fucking hot because I'm in the fucking attic. But you know what? I'm not worried.
Incoming soon.
Because every single time Luke makes an episode, I still laugh my fucking ass off every time. And I was there. So whatever it is that we do is pretty cool. That and we're in the top one to two, page one or two of iTunes. Sometimes, whatever. I'm not even going to
complain. I made a tweet that we were podcasting and that the show would be up soon. So I'm advertising for us.
Oh, you're going to have to, now you've committed.
With all of your followers.
You get 200. I'll have to retweet it because I have 800 and something followers and you're going to be fucked.
Followers.
I think I've got like 30 followers and that's probably too many.
30?
Hot on like your mom.
Well, yes, your mom. I'll have to check Dave's follower count after.
No, seriously, I think it's like 2 or 3.
So seriously.
I don't really tweet because I just don't care.
Yeah, that's okay.
Is it me or does Mike sound like Don?
I don't think so.
I do.
Mike?
I don't know what this Don that you speak of.
No, he doesn't sound like Don.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
All right. Hello, this is Don.
With conviction on both ends. It's amazing.
Yes. All right. So, I think we've got everything covered for barbecues. We've got Dave. We got all kinds of cool things going on here.
We've got Dave for an entire episode.
It's exactly. We did
I think
it.
What I'm going to start doing actually for the episodes is just show up at like random points in the episode for a couple of minutes and then leave.
Dude.
Hate your face even more.
What you could do is you just send us all your sound clips and we'll just feed them in where appropriate. That sounds awesome. Anyway.
Do generic ones like, it's good.
Awesome. I agree.
Dave today is being played by.
You're a douchebag. That'd be cool. All right. because I have to pee. This is Derek for Mike, Doug, Dave, and our podcast producer, Luke. He doesn't have a last name anymore. All right. You've just been buzzed by EverydayDrinkers.com or Everyday Drinkers, however you want to look at it. Check us out at EverydayDrinkers.com. We got reviews, we got podcasts, we got interviews, everything you ever need. And if that's not enough, go to EverydayDrinkers.tv, watch some cocktail videos. And I know you all do because I just know. That was my outro.
I don't want to see any cock. I'm not going to your site.
No cocktails.
Oh, this is...
this brings up a good story.
This reminds me of a story.
Okay, go.
No, I thought I was just predicting what you were going to say.
One time...
Yeah, see?
I was at my computer, and I was Skyped into a podcast, and it was really fun because I was drinking, and everybody else was too.
Dork. It's dork accent.
Your mom's dork accent.
Yeah, see? Oh, all right. Pinwheeling. I got pinwheeling. Damn it.
Pinwheel.
Pinwheels keep on turning. Yep. Okay.
Proud Mary keeps on
rolling. Rolling.
Rolling. Rolling.
Yeah.
Rolling on your mama.
I am recording now, so anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Find
every
it.
Day a drinker's episode 30. Barbecue drinks. Barbecue drinks. We ask that you respect the laws and drink responsibly. Holy fuck.
What was that?
I thought it was a clapping.
I have no idea where that cork went.
So where are all my peeps?
Shake it, baby, shake it.
There we go.